Why don't you take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Joshua chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 10, and we're going to try to get down through the rest of the chapter through verse 15. So just six verses tonight. We've got the Israelites across the Jordan River, and 2 weeks ago we talked about what the first thing they did was when they crossed the Jordan River, and that was that all the men and the boys that had not been circumcised as they traveled through the wilderness were circumcised. And so this week we're going to finish chapter 5, and we're going to see that Joshua leads them after the circumcision to do something else that God had told them to do, and that was to keep the Passover. And so the first three verses that we'll read, verses 10, 11, and 12, we'll talk about that first Passover that they had in the Promised Land. And then the last three verses, verse 13, 14, and 15, talks about Joshua meeting up with the captain of the host of the Lord. So look at verse 10 tonight, Joshua chapter 5. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morning after they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. I wonder what the Canaanites thought as they observed the Israelites. I just wonder what went through their mind. I'm sure, and again, I don't know how close Jericho was to the river, and so I don't know if they could stand on the city walls and see them come across the river, or if they just got reports back from those men that they probably sent out to see what was going on. But they heard, if not saw, the Jordan River split and the Israelites come over on dry land. And instead of coming immediately to Jericho like an invading army would, there was a delay. And again, I just wonder what went on in the city of Jericho. I think all the people in that area, they left their homes, they left their farms, and they came into the walled city for protection. And I think they were expecting as soon as the Israelites came across the river, they would attack the city. But there was a delay. And I'm sure they sent their spies out, and the spies came back and said, you never believe what those guys are doing. They're going through this this circumcision thing. And you know, all the men and the boys, they're performing this this thing on. And then the spies came back and said, you never believe what they're doing now. They're having this celebration they call the Passover. And I'm sure there were some, if not all, in the city who said, this is strange. I mean, we never heard anything like this before. I mean, every time we've heard about war before, if an army came across the river, they came and attacked. They didn't go through this stuff. They just came and attacked. I'm sure there were even some in the camp of Israel, an Israelite, the Hebrews, that thought the same thing. This is strange. Why are we doing this? Why are we being circumcised? I mean, this is going to leave us weak and vulnerable. Why would we do this? And why would we waste time keeping the Passover? And so there were probably some in the Israelite camp that thought it was strange as well. But Joshua knew what the people needed most, what the people of God needed most, what the army of God needed most was God's help, And he knew that the best way to get God's help was to be obedient. And God had come to him and said, now, Joshua, I want you to circumcise the men and the boys. It wasn't done in the wilderness, but I want you to do it now. I don't think God had to tell Joshua to keep the Passover. I think when the 14th day of the first month came, Joshua said, okay, it's time to keep the Passover. We're going to keep the Passover. Now, there's a diversion of opinions. There are some people that think they kept the Passover as they were wandering through the wilderness. Others do not. I don't think they did. The 40-some years they were in the wilderness. We don't read about any particular Passover that they kept. And you remember when they were in the wilderness, they were there because of their disobedience. They were being killed off by God. Everybody over 20, except for Joshua and Caleb, was going to be killed. They could not go into the promised land. It was, again, because they didn't go in 40 years ago when God brought them to Kadesh Barnea before. They disobeyed God. And they were paying for their disobedience by wandering through the wilderness. Now, they were an obedient people. They'd come across the Jordan River. They'd obeyed God by being circumcised. And now it was the 14th day of the first month, and their leader, Joshua, says, we're going to keep the Passover. Because God told us, when you come into the land, these are the feasts that I want you to keep. Now here's the point. God hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And today, we should not expect God's help and blessing if we're living in disobedience to Him. Rather than try to face the world and the enemy on our own, we need to know the same thing that Joshua did. I mean, on our own, they could not defeat the city of Jericho. It was a walled city. I mean, nothing had changed in 40 years. If anything, they had gotten stronger. You remember the first time they came, the spy says, the cities are walled, the people are big. We have no hope. Nothing's changed. They had no hope. Joshua knew the only chance they had was to have God's help. And the only chance that we have today, we can try to face the world and we can try to face the enemy on our own. But we'd be smarter to realize that the only hope and the best hope we have is to have God's help. The psalmist says in Psalm 121, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And we'd be better off to take our eyes off ourselves, off of our ability, off of our strength, off of our wisdom, and put them on God and seek His help. And the best way to do that, His help, lies in our obedience to His commands. And so they kept the Passover. It was time for the Passover. They kept the Passover. They were still in Gilgal, first place they camped after they crossed the Jordan River, 14th day of the first month. And again, no record of it in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers and Leviticus, that they kept it in the wilderness. But now they were in the promised land. Now they were an obedient people, and it was only right that they keep the Passover. It was only right that they remember what started this journey in the first place. I mean, God sent plagues to Egypt. And the last one was the death angel coming to kill the firstborn in every house. And the only way that the firstborn in any house escaped was to kill the lamb, put the blood on the doorpost and on the top of the door, and when the angel came, it would pass over that house. When that happened, and Pharaoh's firstborn was killed, and many firstborn children in the land of Egypt was killed, and the Bible tells us when that happened, Pharaoh and the people of Egypt drove the Israelites out of Egypt. They had asked and asked and asked to go, and Pharaoh said, no, 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 no. And when they lost their firstborn son, they drove them out of Egypt. And now they were at the end of this journey. They were at the place that God wanted them to be, and it was only right, it was only fitting that they remembered, and that's what the Passover was for, that they remembered what started it all in the first place. As we enjoy the blessings of God, which are new every morning, the book of Lamentations says the mercies of God are new every morning. And as we enjoy the mercies of God every morning, every day, let's not forget how it started. Let's not forget that we were sinners headed toward hell, that separation from God. And it was only because God loved us while we were sinners that He sent His Lamb the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that Lamb died on the cross. And if we receive that Lamb, He'll give us forgiveness. He'll forgive us of our sins, clean up our record. That's what started our journey. One day we're going to cross that Jordan River and we're going to enter into heaven. But don't ever forget, and I don't think we will in heaven because we'll be in the presence of the Lamb, but don't ever forget as we enjoy the mercies of God each day, what started it. Don't ever, and I've said this many, many times before, and I hope to say it many, many more times in the coming years, don't ever get over being saved. Don't ever get over it. I mean, every time we think about it, a tear ought to come to our eye. We ought to get excited. I was a sinner headed toward hell, but God saved me. He saved me. Not for any reason that I could offer up, but because He loved me, even when I was a sinner, and He sent His only begotten Son to die in my place. So they kept the Passover in the plains of Jericho. And again, God was giving them an early indication. He was saying, listen, you obey me, and I'll keep you. Your enemy won't have any power over you. How easy would it have been for the Canaanites to come when they were weak from the circumcision? How easy would it have been for the Canaanites to attack when they were observing this Passover? It would have been easy. But God said, look, I'll keep you. You don't have to worry about the enemy. I will keep you because you're being obedient to me. I want you to notice in verse 12 that they said that they've eaten of the old corn of the land, and they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And again, I think the Canaanites left their farms, they left their homes, they left their barns, they left their fields, and they all went into Jericho. I mean, they were afraid of the Israelites. And the Israelites ate the store of grain and crops that were in the barns, and they ate the fruit of the fields. As the harvest came, they ate what the Canaanites had planted. Of course, we know, according to the book of Exodus, when God gave Moses the instructions, that after the Passover came the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which lasted for 7 days, and then after that came the celebration of the first fruits, where they took the first of the harvest and took sheaves and waved them before God. And again, these were commands of God. God told them to keep these feasts, and He provided everything they needed for them to keep the feast. He provided what was in the barns. He provided what was in the fields. And again, reminding us today that whatever God tells us to do, He will give us what we need to do it. I've known people, and you have too. Well, I can't. God tells them to do something. So, well, I can't do that. And they're right. They can't do it on their own. But when God calls you to do something, He equips you. When God calls you to do something, He gives you what you need to do it. I mean, we're right. We can't do it on our own. But if we depend on Him and look to Him, He never, ever asked anybody to do anything for Him without giving them what they need to get it done. All He's doing is looking for our obedience. Will we be obedient? Will we do what He says? And then I want you to notice in those verses, it says, the manna ceased. The manna stopped. Bread from heaven. Angels' food, they called it. It was miraculously provided 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, they got twice as much because it didn't come on the Sabbath, the seventh day. But now it stopped. Why? They didn't need it anymore. They didn't need it. God had brought them into a land. He'd provided the store that was in the barns. He'd provided the fruits that came from the field. As long as it was needed, God, in a miraculous way, provided it, even when it wasn't appreciated. You remember? Sometimes they complained about, oh, all we got to eat is this bread, this light bread. Every day, same old thing. And they complained about it. In fact, they complained so much one time God killed a bunch of them by sending fiery serpents into the camp and killing them. And yet, in spite of their complaints, even when they didn't appreciate it, God provided it. And again, God does the same thing for us. He will meet our needs. Sometimes when we don't even appreciate it or you don't even recognize that he's the one that's doing it, he will meet our needs. But it also teaches us that he expects us to do what we can. When he brought the Israelites into the land and there was store in the barns and fruit in the field, he said, I'm not going to send the man anymore. Get to work. Go pick. Go to the barns. Take it out. Paul said in the book of, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so he put the Israelites to work. But God will give us what we need as long as we need it. Now look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place where thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I want you to notice seven quick things from those three verses. I want you to notice the time of this meeting. It was right after the circumcision. It was right after the Passover. It was right after the people's obedience to God. When we are obedient to God, God will make himself known to us. When we are obedient to God, his grace will come. When we are obedient to God, he will share with us his plans. Now, just keep in mind, in chapter 6, which we'll get into a couple weeks from tonight, he's going to give Joshua the plans to defeat Jericho. It came as a result of Joshua's obedience. Why should God tell us what to do tomorrow when we don't do what he says today? He won't do that. We have to do what he tells us today before we get his plans for tomorrow. I want you to notice, second, the place of this meeting. It was by Jericho. It says there, when Joshua was by Jericho. I think he went to close to the city. I think he was trying to figure out how to take the city. And although I think he was, you know, looking and scheming and praying, I think he came to the conclusion, there ain't no way we can do this. This city is walled. I don't have any idea about how we're going to do it. God came and gave him the plan. God helps those who help themselves. Joshua was exactly where he was supposed to be. He was the general. He was the one responsible for coming up with the plan. He was surveying the city. He was trying to figure it out. And when Joshua did what he could do, even though I don't think he had a clue as to how he was going to do it, God came and said, okay, you're where you're supposed to be. I'll tell you how we're going to do it. Works the same way today. Works the same way today. Notice number three, how God appeared. He came as a man, sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua lifted up his eyes and saw this man. I think he had his head down. Again, I think he was praying. I think he was meditating. And he looked up and he was surprised by this man. I think this man was a strong man. I think it was a man that you had to notice, you couldn't ignore. And he had his sword drawn. And again, he's captain of the Lord's host. Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of those appearances before his incarnation, talked about in Matthew, when he appeared unto man in the Old Testament, the Word that was made flesh. And he came to encourage and he came to instruct. I want you to notice the question Joshua asked. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? I think it showed his courage. I mean, again, I think this was a big, strong man. A man you couldn't help but notice. He had his sword drawn. And Joshua came up to him and said, I want you to know, are you for us or against us? If you're for us, amen. But if you're against us, I'm going to fight you. He might have looked like Goliath, you know. He might have been that bit. But Joshua said, doesn't matter. There is a cause, as David would say later. If you're coming to defy the armies of God, you're going to have to go through me first. So I want to know, are you for us or against us? And by the way, there was no middle ground. Joshua said, I want to know, are you with us or against us? You can't be in the middle. You can't sit on the fence. Same way today. You're either on God's side or you're on the devil's side. There ain't no middle ground. You can't sit on the fence. You can't have one foot on one side of the line and the other foot on the other side of the line. You can't serve God and manna. We're either for him or against him. And Joshua says, I need to know, are you for us or against us? Notice the answer. He said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. I'm not for your enemies. I'm for you. I'm for you. And not only am I for you, I came to command you. Because I am captain of the Lord host. You see, there were going to be two hosts that went against Jericho. There was a host of Israelites, and there were a host of angels that was going with them. And the captain of the Lord's host came and said, Joshua, I'm the captain of the Lord's host, and I'm for you, and I'm your commander. Notice what Joshua did. He didn't say, well, just a minute, I've been appointed the leader of this people. I mean, Moses appointed me. God appointed me. I'm the leader. I'm the general. You know, I've been ordained to be the leader. He didn't say that. He fell on his face. He fell on his face and he says, what are your instructions? We're ready to obey. I'm ready to obey. Just tell me what you want us to do. And when the captain of the Lord's host makes himself known unto us, we need to do the same thing. We need to fall on our face and we need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just give me the order. I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to do whatever you tell me. Just tell me. And then I want you to notice, lastly, number 7, the instruction that the captain of the Lord's host gave to Joshua. He says, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. Holy. You remember when Moses stood before the burning bush and God called him to lead the people out of Egypt? God said the same thing to him. Moses, take your shoes off, because you're standing on holy ground. Take your shoes off. Any place that we meet God is holy. Any place where we submit ourselves to the will of God and are ready to obey his orders and see his glory, it's holy. Any place that God instructs us and tells us what to do is holy. And what the captain of the Lord host was telling Joshua when he told him to take your shoes off, he's saying, now look, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Take your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And that same God that was with Moses and that same God that was with Joshua is the same God that never leaves us or forsakes us. Never leaves us or forsakes us. He is our help. He's our help. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And as long as I have his help, I don't need any other help. He made the heaven and the earth, and he's my help. Glad you were here tonight. Let's stand, have a word of prayer, be dismissed.